This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello and welcome to the Resty's Football Question and Answer episode. Thanks once again for sending in all your questions. We've got some belters this week for Micah Richards, Alan Shearer and myself. Let's start with one from Australia. Toby Van Extel. Question for everyone. What did you do to lock in right before games? Did you have a pre-game routine that you always followed?
Good question. Yeah. What was his name again?
Toby Van Extel.
Wow! Van Extel.
It's a good name, man.
Sounds fancy, that, doesn't it?
Do you want to start, Micah? Did you have a routine before games?
Routine, a bit weird. I must have had a really good game in the Manchester Derby earlier on in my career.
Was that the only one?
You just beat me to it, guys.
I always used to put my left shin pad on.
Your right foot.
My right. Yeah. Imbecile. I don't know why. If I put my right, and I had to put my left boot on as well, and then put my right. I don't know why that was. I just had to do it. If I didn't do it, I didn't feel right.
I had a bonkers routine, all sorts of stuff. I was so superstitious. I think I've mentioned some of these before, but before the game, you know, even driving, I would drive to the, because in those days you used to go in your car to home games, obviously not away games, but I like take the same route. If I go a couple of games without a goal, I'd switch the route. I kind of got dressed in the same order, a little bit like yourself in some ways. On the pitch, in the warm-up, I would never shoot at goal because I didn't want to use one up.
Yeah, I get that. I was the same with that in the warm-ups. Yeah, you know, in the there's like set up shooting sessions for a forwards in the game. I was always reluctant to do that because I was thinking, if I bag one in the top corner here from 25 yards, what's the chances of me doing it half an hour later in the game? So I always used to be reluctant to do shooting sessions in the warm-ups before the game. So I get that, but I can right shin pad on left. I was like, what the hell are you talking about, man? As if that's going to help you.
It is, mate. It is.
If it works for you, then it works for you, I suppose, mentally. I don't know. But.
Rio Ferdinand said in the tunnel he used to like tip water all over his head before he'd go out. I used to, if I scored in the first half, I'd keep my shirt on for the second half. If I didn't score in the first half, I'd change shirts. Not numbers,
really?
But a different shirt, yeah. all sorts of nonsense, which leads on actually to a question from John Baker. A fantastic podcast by the three of you, and saves me from listening to terrible Brisbane radio whilst driving to customers. Apologies to Brisbane radio for that one. So another one from Australia, blimey. My question is, when Gary played for Spurs, I was a season ticket holder on the shelf and noticed Gary would always come out of the tunnel and kick the ball towards the goal. Was it a superstition of Gary's? Well, no, I didn't kick the ball towards goal. I've just said I did the opposite. I think I just came out and whacked the ball anywhere. Also, Gary would never take a shot in the warm-ups and concentrate on sprints again. What was he thinking? Well, the sprint side of it was just to get generally warmed up, because I took a bit of warming up. I felt a little bit stiff, so my warm-up was really quite hard.
Where are we going with this?
I don't know.
I generally took a little bit of warming up.
To get a bit
otherwise
stiff.
I'd get stiff. I mean, you might want to talk, you know, say we're talking about football here, Gaz. I mean, it sounds
Michael, that was in his 20s, not when he's in his 60s. No ticks, more than getting fucking warmed up. No, that's for sure.
They got pills for that, there.
I could warm up for hours. It wouldn't make a blind bit of difference. Oh, God.
Even his face is that blue. He's taking that many pills.
And that's just to do a fucking podcast. Oh, dear. As hard as it is, I think we should move on.
Hey!
Right, we definitely should. Jonathan Edwards, what
the
do you think?
The long jumper.
I don't
know. Hop, skip, and a jump.
It could be. Yeah. It could be. Triple jump, wasn't it?
Triple jump, sorry. Yeah.
What do you think about tactical injuries, conning referees, especially by goalkeepers who don't have to leave the field of play? This happened in the recent game between Derby and Reading, where play was halted for several minutes after a period of play where Reading were being overrun. All the Reading players went to the touchline to get fresh instructions from the manager, and the immediate danger was averted. Needless to say, their goalkeeper made a miraculous recovery.
Every club does it. Every club tries to, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Gain an advantage?
Gain some sort of advantage. Try to slow the team down. If you're under pressure, you'll see someone go down with an injury to try and waste a little bit more time. Everyone does it.
I saw that the MLS, Major League Soccer in America, are trying to address that particular issue in the game by bringing in a law over there where if a player gets injured, then he has to go off the field, but he then has to stay off for a period of time, whether it's a minute or 2 minutes, and they have to play with a man fewer at that particular point. I'm not sure about that, because most of the injuries that players get are genuine. Now, if you get a kick on the toe or a whack on the shin, or it's like if you stub your toe in your house, it bloody well hurts, but then it dissipates and goes away in a minute. And also, you're perhaps encouraging people to give you a whack. And I think, you know, does that actually reward the team who commits a foul?
Yeah, it's a disadvantage. I don't agree with that. Someone can't whack you, and then you've got to go off for 2 minutes. Makes no sense. I don't agree with it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm gonna see him.
They'll be bringing in sin bins next year. Oh, Paul Phillips. My question is, if the three teams that got relegated from the Premier League last season get promoted, do you think that they'll perform as poorly as the teams who went up this season, or will they survive the dreaded drop? Cheers. Well, you know, I don't think Luton have been poor. I think, you know, let's say that for now.
No, they've given themselves a right good chance, haven't they?
Yeah, Sheffield United and Burnley have clearly struggled. Obviously, the three teams he's talking about would be Leeds, Southampton and Leicester, because they were the ones that got relegated last season. So if they came straight back up, I don't know. But Ipswich are going really well now as well. It's really tight at the top, and we don't know who's going to win the playoffs. I think it's getting increasingly more difficult. I think that the gulf is greater, do you think, between the two leagues now?
I think it's always going to be difficult, particularly nowadays. I mean, we always said the hard part is actually staying up, not getting up, although it is difficult, but to stay up and then to stay up for a while is really difficult. I mean, the teams last year impressed. I mean, I know Luton did what they did, and it was a miracle how they got up. But when you look at Burnley, I mean, Burnley were really impressive, weren't they? I mean, some people thought they were going to do really well this season, didn't they, Micah?
Yeah, I did. I got it wrong. We all get it wrong, don't we? But it's not over yet. It's not over yet. But just on that argument, say it was the three teams that come up. Say it was Leeds, Leicester and Ipswich, for say. How on God's earth, and it goes back to financial fair play, they can't possibly compete with the big guns. It's impossible to do
that. Yeah, but it's not fair, that's not fair, is it?
It's not fair,
financial fair play is like, you would think it's designed to stop anyone competing with the elite.
Yeah. Do you think they'll change it?
I think there's rumblings,
isn't there?
They should change it. It's just not fair because Man City wouldn't have done. I know Man City have got charges against them, but Man City wouldn't have done what they've done. Chelsea wouldn't have done what they've done with the current rules as they are now. And it's just, yeah. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Newcastle fan now. It's just, it's not fit for purpose, if you ask me, the current rules.
Okay. Lisa Ball. If Liverpool and Bayer Leverkusen get through their quarters and semis of the Europa League, they will play each other in the final. Who do you think wins if that happens? And is it possible that it could be a higher quality final than the potential Champions League final? Well, there's a few ifs and buts in there, but I think there's every chance that Bayer Leverkusen could face Liverpool in the final. And I think it's a reasonable question because a lot of the teams in the Champions League, even in the last eight, and not particularly flying high in their respective leagues. What do you think?
I think there's every chance they could play each other. I think when everyone's looking at the draws and how it sort of worked out, then they're probably the outstanding teams, aren't they, those two?
Yeah, I don't think it'd be the same quality as the Champions League, but I think it might be more entertaining because the way Leverkusen play on the front foot. They concede a few goals, but they score a lot of goals. And we know Liverpool are all action team to watch. So it might be more entertaining, but quality-wise, say it was a Man City versus Atletico, I think it'd be a really tactical like battle between two top coaches. So yeah, more entertaining, but not, I wouldn't say, have more quality on show.
Tom Fairburn, here's a great question. And this might be a little chance of my revenge of Micah Richards.
Oh!
Question for Gaz and Alan. Ooh. Start one, bench one, sell one. Kyle Walker, Gary Neville, Big Meeks.
Oh, that's not a tough question, is it? Bloody hell.
Oh, come on.
Kidding, Al, you're on the bench straight away.
He's lucky to get on the bench, Al.
We tried to sell him, you would get no money for him anyway, so that. And if you play him, you know you're getting done anyway, so there's only one place for you, Micah.
Yeah, and you're not likely to be put on either. Yeah. So the question comes down, which I think, you know, it's quite a good one, is Kyle Walker or Gary Neville, who's been the better right back there?
Whoa, that's a tough question, that is. I mean, they're both played in great teams, haven't they?
They have. They both won everything. I think I'd just give it to Kyle Walker for that extra bit of pace defensively that he has. But there's not a lot in it. Two great right backs, two great players for England.
It's hard, isn't it? Because Gary Neville's so self-deprecating now, the way he talks about himself, that he wasn't a great player. Yes, he wasn't a great team, but he still had to go up and down and he was consistent, played a lot of games for England. In terms of one-on-one defending, I think Kyle Walker's better. In terms of positional sense, I would say Gary Neville was better. In terms of delivery in the final third, I'd probably say Gary Neville. But in terms of stopping a counter-attack, being able to adapt to a new system, I would say Kyle. They've both got strengths and weaknesses. It's too hard to really
work with Gary Neville, though, so you know you're going to say Gary Neville.
So, should we just ask that question again then, Micah? Who would you rather have, Kyle or Gary? Stop sitting on the fence.
You know it's going to be Gary Neville because he works with him.
No!
Did you see the way Gary Neville put it on a plate for me against Scotland? England, Scotland, Euro 96, when he whipped that ball in for the header.
Yeah. So what are you going to go for, Alan?
Gary Neville all day. Micah, who are you? Okay. Come on.
You get the deciding vote, Micah, even though the question was for me and Alan. Are you putting yourself on the bench?
I'm picking myself. I'm playing.
Gary Neville or Kyle Walker? Come on. We're nearly into Friday's episode, Micah. Hurry up. Just one more wafer thin mint, Mr. Creosote.
I think Gary Neville in Man United system, Kyle Walker in Man City system.
So who would you rather have, Micah?
Oh my God. Next question.
No, no, you're all right. You're very quick to bench me. Now, come on.
It wasn't a question to me.
I know, but I've put it to you now.
All right, Gary Neville.
There you go. I told you. Right. Rick Overrinder for Alan. Being young, living in the Netherlands, I always idolised Dennis Bergkamp, and in my opinion, he is one of the best players of a generation. How would you rank him in terms of the best players in the Premier League, and what was your experience playing against him?
Yeah, I totally understand the admiration for him. I'm exactly the same. He was just a brilliant player. I don't think you'd get many people arguing how brilliant Dennis Bergkamp was. Even as an opposing player against him, he was just, he was ridiculously good. And I think we did this, didn't we, in terms of top 10 best foreign players in our in a podcast we do, Match of the Day Top 10. Without doubt, he's probably, for me, best five we've ever seen in the Premier League, without a doubt.
Yeah, he was a wonderfully gifted footballer. Bit amazing. Of an edge as well, didn't he?
Yeah. Nasty edge, which you need. And I'm not saying that in a disrespectful way. But he had a tough side to him as well. Yeah, he was a brilliant player.
One of your many teams that you support, Michael, Arsenal, was he one of your favourites?
Yeah, my favourites were Anelka.
Thierry Henry.
Thierry Henry, Ian Wright, yeah. Tony Adams, Dennis Bergkamp was in there as well. Yeah. I mean, talk about art. Everyone talks about Cantona, he was magnificent, wasn't he? But in terms of feel of the ball and little, remember his goal he scored against Newcastle, against Shea Given?
Oh, we'll remember that
it's,
one.
It's the best goal, I think, in the Premier League I've ever seen. Ooh. I'm going that far. That far I'm going.
Yeah, well, I need a break after that.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to the Rest Is Football question and answer episode with Micah Richards, Alan Shearer and me, Gary Lineker. Some cracking questions this week, so let's bash on. Sam, if you could have one ability of any current player to improve your game as a player, Which ability,
Gary? You can't do that again. You can't do. You've said basically what have you said? Warm up, stiff, and now bash on. I mean,
what's wrong with bash on?
Bash on.
Hey, when you get into your 70s, that's you take that by the way.
I tell you, what goes through your mind, Micah? That's what I have to ask most of the time. Everything to you is a sexual innuendo.
You're saying it, not me.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm going to stick with bash on, though. If you could have one ability of any current player to improve your game, which ability would you have and from which player? Easy for me. Messi's dribbling.
Thierry's dribbling ability. Yeah, I would have Thierry, mate, yeah. The way he ran
with Thierry too.
I'm going Kylian Mbappe.
Oh, yes.
Dribbling. Oof.
Nick Dormand. Hi, guys. Question for Gary. When you were at Spurs with Gazza, did he really bring an ostrich to training?
Got a bit of a neck asking that question.
Whee! Just stick your head in the sand. Not when I was there, but I heard that was probably the case. It wasn't during the time. But knowing Gazza as I know him, I would absolutely think it was probably true.
I think I heard him tell that story when he's doing the Q&A session. He went into, I think he went and hired an ostrich, didn't he? Seriously, he hired an ostrich and took it into training.
How do you hire an ostrich?
That's what I was going to ask.
Honestly, I don't know how he did it, but Gazza, if it could be done, Gazza could do it. And he went and hired an ostrich for the day.
Yeah,
he didn't do any harm to the ostrich. He just hired an ostrich and took it into training ground.
No ostrich was harmed in the filming of this training session. Sender Lenaula. Hello, guys, from Nairobi. Cool, we're getting them from far afield today. My question is to all of you. Having played with players from different cultures and backgrounds, which players or players did you find yourself learning so much from? And what's one really interesting thing you learned from them? Oh, blimey. Culturally. Well, actually, in English football, back when I played, there weren't that many foreign players around. I mean, it's awash with them now, obviously. So I think you'd take a lot on board from that. But for me, it was probably the other way around, going to Barcelona and the culture of things and how they lived their life over there, different things. I quite enjoyed the daily routine of training for a couple of hours in the morning and then going to the beach, having a bit of lunch and a late siesta and then a late dinner. I thought that was quite cool. I don't know what I learned from it.
A glass of red with your pre-match or
not? A little bit of Rioja and a nice paella. Oof.
Brilliant. Amazing.
Marvellous. Marvellous. But yeah. And not chasing fullbacks was a really good thing when I went to when I went to Barcelona. The first two or three games, I was, you know, like you do, Alan, when the ball goes out to the fullback in the days of 4-4-2, you were the one that had to bomb out and try and block the ball down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that I got in at half time in one game and they're going, Gary, what are you doing? Cathis, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Why are you chasing? I went, that's what we do, isn't it? No. You stay in the middle. We want you to score the goal. I went, I'll have a bit of that.
Perfect, yeah. Yeah, perfect. Mike, are you?
Fucking culturally. I can't even fucking speak English, never mind fucking Italian. I mean.
What about in Fiorentina?
Yeah, no, Fiorentina was good. But you don't learn anything in terms of, you learn a language a little bit, but everyone spoke English, or six or seven players who I was passing the ball to spoke English, so it didn't really matter about, and I wasn't there, if I would have been there for two
and
or
what
three
did they
years,
say? That's another crap pass.
Why are you wearing those Adidas stand finders, Micah?
Get it right, they were Nike stand finders, actually. But no, I mean, I think way of life, I would, like you said it, guys, I think drinking the wine before the game, the evening before, trading in the sun, and just, yeah, a beautiful lifestyle, I would say.
But you, Alan, how did the foreign players cope with that Geordie accent everyone has up there?
I mean, there were quite a few foreign players I played with who smoked, and I never ever smoked in my life, but I found it amazing that they could smoke and then go out and play 90 minutes on the back of that. But
it's funny you should mention that, Alan. It's funny you should mention that, because it leads me, the question I was just about to read is from Harvey. Hi, Gary. Two English lads working in Christchurch, New Zealand. I'm a massive Liverpool fan and my mate is a big Spurs fan. We always have the pod on in the van at work as it helps us to keep going through the day. Well, that's great. My question is about players who smoke. What about that? Any of you ever smoke during your career or play with any players or managers who smoked in the dressing room? Any insight would be interesting. Love the pod, lads. Keep up the good work. Well, I obviously played under Johan Cruyff, who smoked like a chimney and obviously probably cost him his life because he had lung cancer in the end. But yeah, there were quite a few players that used to smoke when I first started, and then it kind of gradually phased out. I think it's probably quite rare now, isn't it? I don't know.
I would guess it's rare now. I mean, I don't know, but you'd think the same in our day. I mean, David Ginola smoked when at Newcastle. So, but if that's what rocked his boat and that would work for someone, then you sort of let them get on with it, didn't you? Who were you to say you shouldn't be doing that?
You just stick to the snooze.
Oh, yeah, I was a snooze, yeah. There's a couple of players who used to smoke in Man City's dressing room, but I'll wait till they retire before I say that. I'll ask for their permission because I don't want to stitch them up. But I remember one time we're coming after the game, was getting absolutely battered by someone. And as you do, you go in, I'm having a number two on the toilet.
With the snooze as well.
Snooze wasn't really a thing back then. But next minute, I just see some smoke coming over and I was like, no way someone's smoking while I'm having a number two.
It was a steamy turd. This episode is disgusting. We should put a warning on it before.
But yeah, I can't reveal the player until he retires.
Okay, right. Last question from Dave. Did any of your siblings play football? And what stopped them from getting to the top?
I've got a second cousin. He's called Atiba Harris. He played for Vancouver Whitecaps. And we met him on pre-season tour. I think it was around 2011. And he used to stay at my house when he was about 16. He'd come over from St. Kitts and Nevis and he stayed with my family for a little bit. He was a really good player, midfielder, striker as well. So, yeah, that's the only family I have who played football.
Anyway, that's it for this week's question and answer episode. Thank you very much for your questions. Some absolute belters this week. So thank you for that. This is me going into my Micah Richards impression of myself. But that's it from Rest Is Football for this question and answer episode. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.